This is the Saxo Market Call, daily insights on what is moving the financial markets.
Hello, and welcome to the Saxo Market Call. It is Friday, 19th of November, 2021, and we have what looks like on the surface a quite strong market with new record highs trading in the U.S. As we can see on slide two, look at your S&P 500 charts, look at your NASDAQ 100 charts, but don't look at your Russell 2000 charts because those have actually been on decline for more than a week. So what I'm saying there is that we've seen some divergence, that breadth is poor. And then yesterday's session in particular, we can see in our theme baskets on the equity side that many of the themes were down on the day. In fact, almost all of them, and that it was mega caps doing all of the heavy lifting. They are so mega, of course, that it is rather easy for a strong series of these stocks to take the entire index higher. One of the key news items that was adding to positive sentiment yesterday was Apple out talking about it is continuing with an autonomous vehicle program, looking for fully autonomous driving, and that it will be launching hopefully in the 2025 timeframe. So the market was a bit excited about that, obviously, given the valuations of the likes of Tesla, et cetera. Do note, I would say that Bitcoin space looking pretty dodgy here. We've seen some pretty big sell-off recently. The last time I noticed it this morning, Bitcoin at 56,000. And obviously that's weighing heavily on that theme basket. It just, to me, it's interesting when this very speculative space sees such a big drawdown. It's, you know, at odds somewhat with what's going on in these sort of headline market indices, et cetera. And then briefly on the end, apologies for the strong monologue here, but I think I just wanted to get through a couple of these risk indicators because we've talked a little bit recently about concerns that we're getting a little bit too overextended here, valuation-wise, locally here and maybe for the cycle. And small signs of this, there's that divergence there we just talked about. You can look at the VIX index as well, which is kind of interesting when you look at slide three, where we have the VIX at 17.5 plus, despite the new highs in the index when we've traded as low as around 15 and just below on the VIX. And you can see a couple of prior episodes back that I've highlighted there where the new highs were occurring and not a new high in VIX, and at least led to a modest consolidation. So if nothing else, maybe some tactical concerns there. A little bit less tactical, a little bit more interesting, I would say, is one of our indicators on risk, the global risk indicator. If you look at slide four, we can see that this has actually dipped into negative. Quite interesting there. I normally use this indicator on the FX side, looking at risks into emerging market FX. And we've seen some pretty weak FX developments in the emerging markets, held back to a degree by China insisting on keeping its renminbi quite strong. But some of the factors that are leading to this are credit spreads to a degree, but especially market volatility picking up in the FX space. But there's something to watch there as well, as this has been fairly prescient in prior cycles as well, and just that mismatch, that divergence. Okay, let's get over to something I think is quite interesting, because we have a lot of uncertainty on the forward front, of course, on the Fed chair nomination. Also, this whole debt ceiling. We've got the $1.7 trillion fiscal package on social and climate spending going to have its first House vote today, but we haven't even gotten over this debt ceiling issue, which was simply punted out into December. And I'll tell you were bringing up some really interesting and important signs of how the market is treating this issue with some of these T-bill auctions. So take us through what you were talking about in the internal meeting this morning. I think it's very interesting.
Absolutely. So yesterday we had 4 weeks and 8 weeks T-bills auctions. And while the 8 week T-bills priced at approximately the same level of the reverse repo facility rate, which is roughly at 5 basis points, the 4 weeks T-bills priced more than double than that, at 0.11%. So basically what I'm trying to say is that we start to see some distress in money markets. Yesterday night, if you look at slides five, you see that the reverse repo facility spiked to the second highest level on record. And that's a sign that basically investors prefer to put their money on the reverse repo facility rather than put their money into T-bills that they mature approximately around the date where the U.S. Treasuries runs out of cash. always on slide number five, I put a graph which shows the T-bills yield curve, and in red is the reverse repo facility rate. And as you can see, those maturities between mid-December up to the beginning of January, they are well above the RRP rate, which means that that's the time when the market really expect a default. The implications are not only for money market, as I was saying in the morning meeting, but are also for the long-term part of the yield curve, because until we have volatility in money market, it's very much likely the long-term yields will keep compressed for the simple reason that they will serve as a safe haven.
Very interesting stuff. And that risk that we just don't know what the pricing, the price discovery is in the treasury market potentially into the new year. There's also, as Stain pointed out, the whole issue around closing your books for the year, et cetera. So very interesting stuff as we go towards that. All right. In the commodity space, we're getting, we've seen the, I don't know if they're trying to talk down the oil price with the talk of the strategic reserve releases, but that was on the market's mind. But it just, even though that talk continues, the prices are just going back up. So what's the next step for oil traders?
Well, it looks like we priced in the expectations for a release. And as the days has dragged on, we haven't really seen any release. It's now a couple of weeks almost since the OPEC Plus meeting where the U.S. administration started to post this, put this threat out. The markets basically conclude that most of the release is already priced in. We have dropped around $7 recently. We made a new low yesterday before recovering quite strongly. So I think the market is still in a range-bound pattern here. You have to remember as well, the upside potential at this point may be limited because we got some COVID flare-ups around the world, which potentially could have an impact on demand in the short term. We also had EIA and IEA, two major forecasters earlier this week and last week, basically looking for a more balanced market as we head into 2022. So that obviously, at least for according to them, is reducing the risk of a spike in the price. But against that, we got banks like Goldman Sachs still very, very firmly in the bullish camp, saying that even if we do have an SPR release now, that potentially could be bullish into 2022, because it's not something that will change the structural issues in the oil market. So so plenty for the market to chew on, but I think for now it's basically looking for a range-bound market.
Yeah, and then in rest of the commodity space, gold is one focus, and gold probably linked to a degree to the long-term interest rates. I'll let you get to that in a moment, but I think so. The price action yesterday, for example, in FX, we see the euro bouncing finally after an incredibly extended run, certainly relative to recent types of directional movements. As you can see on slide six, that euro dollar bounce there, it needs to challenge back above 115 to argue that we're having any threat to this downtrend here. We do have this whole Brainard Powell, who will be appointed. This could see extensive two-way volatility in either direction. Around that announcement, the latest news is that Senator Manchin has been out talking both with Brainard and Powell. That would suggest there's still some horse trading going on and going with this or that a nomination relative to getting this or that social spending bill passed. We need to watch for that. But still, the FX trend's largely unchanged. We have that weak euro, very weak euro. We're watching sterling to see if its recovery continues more broadly, the dollar as well, whether it broadens out more and makes significant new breaks, especially the dollar yen in the 115 level. And if those US yields at the long end are capped for now, we may be frustrated on getting developments on that account, but watching it closely. But it looks like the whole gold move as well, Ola, is tiring a bit. We had such a nice move. We got, I guess you could call it bull flag type of development here above that key resistance. But what are we waiting for, you think?
Well, first of all, it has been a very strong week for gold because we have managed to rally despite the strength of the dollar we've been talking about there. And the price action this week potentially just points to a market that is running a little bit out of a catalyst to take it higher at this point. We've seen something like both silver and platinum underperform gold this week. That's not normally a strong sign. If we were supposed to be back in a bull run, and at the same time, if you look on slide seven here, we still have no pickup in demand in the ETF space. ETF holdings are basically flat since we had that CPI related spike last week, and we really need to see that sector start to get back into the market, get involved. I think as long as the stock market volatility, even though it has been picking up, as long as we continue to see this major indices making new highs, then the appetite for alternative investments are not really there right now. So in the short term, where does that take us? Well, as you can see on the chart as well, the 38.2% retracement of the whole rally of the recent spike higher is very nicely coinciding with the previous highs, which was the resistance before we broke higher. So so potentially a drift back down to the 1830. But as I said, we're missing a catalyst right now. And in order to break high, I think we need to see probably a sharp reversal in the dollar to the weaker side. And that's what I'll be focusing on. And then also yields, which has been drifting higher this week, also just taking some of the support out of this rally. So longer term, still bullish, but short term looks just as John said, and as we show on the slide, it looks a bit tired. Just staying on the commodity space and staying with the metals. Another mark which is doing a bit of a has become a bit of a head scratch is copper. It is obviously the king of the industrial metals. It's also the king of the so-called green metals, given all the electrification that needs to be rolled out over the coming years. But nevertheless, it's been range bound now for more than 6 months, and as you can see, we basically is drifting around this $4.50 level. What I think is interesting is that the reason why some of the investors has left the markets, why we are getting some negative calls for prices next year, while others are still very bullish, is the risk of a slowdown in China. But what we are seeing in on the ground is really not any let up in appetite for copper. Just on the inserts there, I'm showing the exchange monitored copper inventories around the world. We recently had a massive slump in LME, and now overnight, Shanghai Futures Exchange just basically came out with their latest update showing that Shanghai copper stocks dropped to the lowest since 2009. So with all this in mind, we think copper is a sleeping beauty, but right now it's not. The price is actually not telling us anything. So I think we need to let the price action talk for itself. And by that, I mean we need to see a breakout before we start to get further involved there. For now, it's range bound though. And should we just finish off the agricultural space, I'll mention that I put out in the report yesterday, just highlighting the agricultural sector, which is it's painful to watch from an inflation perspective and from a food security perspective. We are continuing to see higher prices there. This week, we saw a spike in coffee. We talked about that earlier in the week, why that is. Also, wheat and soybeans have been some of the leaders in this move higher. So so basically, no let up. And if we look into 2022, we've got high fertilizer prices. We've got the risk of a La Nina weather phenomenon impacting crops both in South and North America. And with that also still labor shortages and supply chain disruptions. And these are all just still pointing towards a tight end to potentially even higher prices.
All right, let's round off what we need to talk about today, and that would be on the macro calendar front, which there's not so much today, but a couple of interesting things, especially on the central bank jawboning front. We have ECB President Lagarde out speaking. We shouldn't be surprised by anything she says. It will clearly be dovish. The market has really pulled back. Well, we're starting to be, unanchored expectations. In other words, the idea that the ECB might start to have to hike rates next year. That may still be the case, but for now, they're putting their foot down, or at least the leadership is putting its foot down on the outlook for inflation, that their models are somehow better than what the market thinks is going to happen. Nothing there. But then we have Chief Economist Hugh Pill out speaking, maybe carrying a bit more on the credibility front than the Governor Bailey himself. And then this intriguing speech that I've highlighted before, no idea what it is, but I think, in terms of how weighty the market will see this, but I think it's an interesting topic because I think it likely in the longer term that to get out of the whole problem that comes back around every time we see the Fed needing to tighten policy with the U.S. funding and the use of the U.S. dollar, the U.S. dollar funding and the problems with global liquidity every time the Fed needs to tighten, we'll have to eventually lead to global policy coordination down the road. So just curious what that one's all about. And then very briefly, we'll have earnings highlights for you hopefully on Monday with Peter hopefully back, and on the central bank calendar front, a couple of interesting ones, especially the RBNZ rate announcement on Wednesday next week. Do they go 25 as most expect, or do they do a 50 as a small minority expect? And of course, the signaling and guidance there, which has been some of the most aggressive of any G10 central bank. And then the key PCE inflation data point out of the US, the Fed's chief inflation measure also up, and the FOMC minutes may be interesting there to see the debate and the sense of unease around inflation levels and how broad that is, et cetera. Maybe we could see something in that that ticks, that erases the idea of that December FOMC meeting bringing a doubling of the purchase, the rate at which purchases will be tapered so that they can get that process completed by March of next year. All right, that's a wrap. Hopefully we'll be delivering a special edition podcast later today, as a conversation between myself and Chief Investment Officer Stan Jakobsen, looking a little bit more big picture, where we are in the cycle and where we may be headed. So stay tuned for that. Be careful out there. Have a great weekend. And we'll be back next week with the Saxo Market Call.
Thanks for listening. This has been the Saxo Market Call. For feedback and questions, reach out to us on Twitter @SaxoMarketCall or by email, marketcall@saxobank.com.